Jet skis, wave runners, personal watercraft, they're part of summer in Wyoming. But here's what most people don't realize. They're often completely excluded from your homeowner's liability coverage. Not limited, excluded. So if someone gets hurt on your jet ski or by it, you could be on your own. Iron Valley Insurance Group helps make sure you're protected before you hit the water. Visit Jessica Weaver, certified insurance counselor in Sheridan. Make sure a great summer day doesn't turn into something much more expensive. Iron Valley Insurance Group. Forged in strength, guided by compassion. Request a quote at ironvalleyins.com.
I was ready to make a change.
I was ready to be healthier.
I was ready to get help, so I called.
When you're ready to quit tobacco, we'll be ready. Enrolling in Wyoming Quit Tobacco's no-cost program is proven to be 3 times more effective than going it alone. For free patches and gum or to speak with a certified quit coach, visit quitwyo.org or call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. Brought to you by the Wyoming Department of Health, paid for by Tobacco Settlement Funds.
The following message is presented by Century21BHJ.com.
Hi, Sheridan. Summer fun is back at Sheridan College. This is Jessica Pickett inviting your 2nd through 8th grader to College for Kids, July 6th through the 9th from 8 until noon. It's 4 days of tie-dye, creative cooking, sports, and tons of fun. Spots are limited, so don't wait. Register today by emailing SheridanCollegeForKids@gmail.com. That's SheridanCollegeForKids@gmail.com.
This is Public Pulse, your information and conversation program, brought to you by First Federal Bank and Trust. You can voice your opinion by calling 672-KROE. That's 672-5763. Now, your host for Public Pulse, Floyd Whiting.
Wednesday, June 3rd. From the foot of the Bighorns in Wyoming's Emerald City, I'm Floyd Whiting, and this is Public Pulse. And this morning, we are joined by the Sheridan Police Department Chief, Travis Koltiska, and Captain Tom Ringley. Good morning, gentlemen. Welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Floyd.
Now, unofficially, the summer season, or officially, the summer season is a few weeks away. Unofficially, Memorial Day is often observed as the beginning of summer travel and the events. So we do this every year. Let's talk about the special events that residents should be aware of this summer and how that may affect traffic and some travel throughout the entire city. So what are we looking at? And let's start with the Dead Sweet.
Sure. I think everybody, they know this has been a great event for the community for, I'm not even sure how many years now, but it's grown to include hundreds of participants. It's a bike race that starts in town and goes up out west, and I know some of the path over the race route is even up the mountain. So it's quite an event. Brings in hundreds of contestants, and of course there's always usually family with that as well. And you know, that as far as traffic concerns for that, obviously leaving town, getting to the outskirts of town, and coming back, there's going to be some people that are going to be monitoring crosswalks and monitoring the start, not only potential officers, but volunteers or event organizers. So watch people wearing vests, trying to help the cyclists get through town safely. And then when they finish as well. And I know they have both a kickoff and a final event in Kendrick Park. Is that right, Kevin?
Yeah. So the park will be, it's a big event. So I'm sure the public's welcome to go check it out. And the two conflict points will be at the kickoff of the race, and I mean conflict with traffic.
Those racers get pretty evil. Elbows.
They will. It should be a one mass turning right out of the park as they head out, and then also Highland and Pioneers, they come back in. There's generally a crossing guard there. And they're going at pretty good speeds because it is a race. So enjoy the day. I think it's supposed to be a nice day. And just watch out for the bikes. They're not all just guests to the town. A lot of local people enjoy these events. So just take your time and have a safe weekend.
Our own Ron Richter.
There you go.
Sheridan Media loves to go out and take part in this event.
And one of our sergeants is participating as well.
So. Ron told me, I think it was yesterday, said he usually ends up doing somewhere around the 20-mile mark. And I thought to myself, holy cow, he's braver than I am. I don't know if I can make 20 miles on, even on a bike. And if so, it'd be about 5-6 hours.
It's easy on a motorcycle.
Yeah. Now, when we look at West Lauk Street, that was something that you sent in the notes. What's specific about that one? Is that just a crossover? Or will they actually?
Traffic will be stopped. Probably
minutes.
Just for a few minutes. It should be at Beaver Street. As they turn right and get out of town, as they go, and then the intersection to Highland and Highland and Lauk should be blocked too, just to get them all out in one piece. And in the long run, it will decrease the impact on people's travels.
Remember that, you know, at the start, they're all bunched up, but over the course of the race, they're going to spread out substantially. So yes, there's still concerns with safety as the bicyclists, and the same applies to like even the sneakers and spurs during the rodeo, which we'll talk about here in a minute. Everybody's bunched at the start, but they spread out over the course of the race. So as they're coming back in, there's still concerns you're going to have to watch for individuals, but at the onset of the race, you know, watch, there'll be a big group. So we want to really make sure that's safe for all the riders and everyone around at the time.
Do they release everybody at one time, or is it in chogs based on distance?
That's a good question. That'd be a question for the event organizer. Not really sure. If you ever get me to sign up for the race, I'll let you know. But I don't know if that's going to happen.
Be on the watch out for the bikes on the road.
All right. Now, Wyo Rodeo Parade affecting downtown. What does that look like this year?
It looks just like it did last year.
So we're going to go up and back.
Yep.
Fantastic.
And it's a great, it's gone extremely, it always goes extremely well. But I think over the years, everything keeps on getting refined so that it's even better. And smoother. And then don't forget, almost immediately after the parade is the First People's Powwow, which is on and in the vicinity of the Sheridan Inn. So there will be continued road closures around the Sheridan Inn to make sure that the crowds and the participants can be accommodated.
I can tell you that 5th Street area, whether it's 5th and Main, 5th and Val Vista, 5th and Broadway, which is right at the corner of the Sheridan Inn where the powwow is held, those areas always get extremely congested after the parade, because of some of the closures and the routes to get out of town. So if people can find alternate means to vacate the area, you know, we're creatures of habit. We want to go the same direction each and every time. But if you can take the long way, take a little time, especially if there's a train that just so happens to coincide with that, it usually becomes quite a mess. Good time had by all. I'll call it what it is. So if people can take their time and they want to hang out downtown, grab lunch after the parade at one of the restaurants downtown. Just hang out for a little while, let traffic dissipate slowly. But that is specifically that area along the 5th Street corridor becomes extremely congested.
I'm glad you brought that up about the train, Chief, because I've seen it get backed up, but just on a typical day. Say like during lunch when people are out and about. Yeah. Boy, that corner really
backs a ways. And we have those early warning signs that the city's installed years ago, with the flashing yellow lights that say, hey, just beware, there's potential delay across the crossings. That those help considerably if people want to pick an alternate means. But I'm just saying, like, I've worked that intersection of 5th and Main and 5th and Val Vista so many years at the parade, there's nothing we can do about it.
Yeah. That's just the way it is. Yeah, there's a lot of great events happening downtown.
If anybody's listening and they're like, hey, I usually go that way, maybe I'll just hang out for a little while longer, and then maybe I'll find an alternate way out of town. Maybe even if it's a long way, maybe I'll go north on Main Street and hit the other, even if I got to go east towards Warano, I'll just go up north and get on the interstate there and then come get off. You know, lots of opportunities.
I think it's a great idea to just, good time to go shopping.
Yeah. Go visit the businesses. Go visit the restaurants. Great time to get downtown.
Even if it's just a good old window shopping. Go in there and see what's available downtown. I'm sure everyone will have their summer stuff out by then. Now, when we talk about Wyo Rodeo Week, what portions of downtown have you seen in the past that are generally affected by this?
Well, from the 8th through the 11th, portions of Main Street will be closed. On the 8th, about the 400 block should be closed after for the evenings for an event, a musical event. And then that Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, I think the area of Main Street, right outside the Mint. We'll be from Grinnell. The block south of Grinnell should be closed for a street dance type event. So once again, the impact hasn't been that big, that much. Both events have been run extremely well in the past, but it will be closed, and it gives our community an opportunity to go downtown and enjoy the rodeo theme.
With all the establishments putting on smaller events, we no longer have the large street dance that actually ended up causing a lot of problems from what you guys have told me over the years. Has anyone ever brought that back to you saying, hey, you know what, we should do this again?
And they're right, someone should, because it's not our job to organize a street dance. And that's been a common misconception over the years. It's finally been put to bed. That was put on by private businesses, and they had the appropriate permits. We're very happy with the way things are now.
Yeah.
It gives people more variety, and also some are more family friendly than others. And they're just all extremely well done. And, mm-hmm. and we're deeply appreciative of the organizers.
I think even the organizers are pretty, they like the way things are going now with their opportunities to have their own little, their own individual events, because they can, decide what they want to do, how they want to, how they want to, organize it, what they want to bring in, what opportunities they want to give to the community. So I've not gotten any feedback from anyone that say, hey, we want to bring this huge conglomerate back together again. Because there's a lot more behind the scenes that those organizers go through. You can ask some of one main person who did pretty much most of the organization 10 years ago, they'll tell you what a workload it is.
Yeah.
It's a lot more work than meets the eye to get that organized.
And I imagine a heck of a lot of stress that comes with that. Not just getting it organized, but once everything starts, just hoping that everything goes on without a hitch. And the idea that individuals are able to choose what kind of event they want to hold, mm-hmm. whereas it's one big thing, I think is really great for families. Because yeah. now I can pick and choose where I'd like to have my kids mm-hmm. with me and have them kind of take part in everything.
If it's an event that's catered towards that, obviously, and that's
right. Yeah,
that's
don't one be of those... packing them into the beer garden.
That's... Right. Yeah. Let's not do that.
Yeah.
Anymore.
And let's not forget, there's still a rodeo going on during a lot of this, and that's the whole point.
You week. Talk about traffic too. That's another one to bring up. Is that the conclusion of each night's performance, the rodeo? Again, Fifth Street, right. Right up that way. We do work really well with the sheriff's office, who helps us out with traffic control up there. We try to get, I know there's some, in the past, there've been some shuttles running. I think the Wild Rodeo, I haven't talked to them yet. We're starting our planning process with coordination. It's not really planning, it's coordination. I assume they're going to run those shuttles again, which seemed to help considerably with some of the traffic. But yeah, it'll take a while to get, upon the conclusion of each night's performance, if you do go to the rodeo, just know that it's going to take a little bit to get to wherever you're going. And for those that are traveling through the area, know there's going to be a lot of extra traffic out there.
Yeah.
We've worked through exfil of those, that area quite a few years. So we're trying to get traffic to flow in one direction. If you can keep that solid flow going, it really helps alleviate a lot of the traffic problems up there right after the conclusion of the rodeo's performance.
What's the longest wait that you can remember that you sat waiting for traffic? Because I'll tell you mine.
Oh, I just turn on the red and blues and I go. I don't know. I'm just kidding. I don't do that. I remember sitting. It's the worst I read. It was at the 4th of July after the court at the Equestrian Center. That was the longest I ever sat. I sat for over an hour waiting to get out of there one time. At the rodeo, it's really not. Again, it's not that long. It's 15 to 20 minutes, I think, is probably about the extent of.
Not that bad.
It's not bad.
Yeah.
But we're so used in this community to getting around wherever we want to go in a very, very timely manner. And I know there's a lot more traffic than there was 10 or 15 years ago. Mm-hmm. Everybody sees it. There's a lot more traffic than there was 6 or 7 years ago. But I was just down in Denver last week. We don't have traffic.
It could be worse, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And so let's all be patient. Let's all be thankful. If you get stuck in traffic a little bit, enjoy the fact that it's a beautiful area and we live in Sheridan, Wyoming.
Yeah, look around a little bit. Yeah,
not while you're driving.
Not while you're driving. Mine was in Denver, and it was over an hour and a half. waiting at that event center after an Ozzy Osbourne concert. And I thought I was never going to get the guys out of there because I was a designated driver that night, which I love having designated drivers, but we all know how the other individuals in the car can behave if they've sat too long. So make sure that you're designating your driver if you're going to go out and have some fun, and that that person has a fair amount of patience. Now, as we look at the overall schedule of these events, it's going to be kind of spread out. And speaking of spread out, has anything changed, or have you been informed by DSA of anything changing on Third Thursday events?
No, and this is a reminder, the first Third Thursday event is this month. It'll be on the 18th. And people can expect the Main Street in downtown to be closed from 3:30 until roughly 9 p.m. or until everything's cleared out. Once again, it's a chance to get downtown, enjoy our downtown, look at the stores, and also have some food and something to drink, and just plan accordingly. It's usually June, July, and August are beautiful, so maybe park a little distance off and enjoy the walk.
That's
and vehicles for all these events. Vehicles do need to be removed from the area, and ample notice will be given ahead of time for, as a reminder, not to park downtown or to have their vehicles out by a certain point.
Captain, where can people go to get that notice?
They can go on the appropriate event websites, but there will be notices downtown as they park. There will be signage.
Okay. And there's big red white signs. Well, not big, but there's red and white signs hung on almost every light structure down there that says no parking or remove vehicles by 3:30.
Okay. And that brings up another point. If you're looking for any kind of scheduling of an event, I think just about everybody has either their own website or their Facebook, social media status.
Probably links on the community calendar.
You can jump on there, and you can get just about any piece of information regarding a local event that you're really looking for. And I got to take a quick commercial break. We're going to have more with our Sheridan Police Department in just a moment. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
First Federal Bank and Trust customers, your next adventure could start with your debit card.
With the Rooted in Adventure sweepstakes, every eligible purchase earns you an entry.
Just use your First Federal MasterCard debit card now through July 31st.
Don't have one? Visit First Federal to get your card and start earning entries.
The more you use it, the more chances you'll receive.
You could win a trip for two to New York, LA, Miami, or Chicago.
Or a $1,000 or $500 prepaid MasterCard.
Just go online to eFirstFederal.bank for full details.
Here in Wyoming, your roof better be tougher than the weather. At Branded 307 Roofing, we install commercial purlin-bearing roofing, residential metal roofs, and standing seam systems, built to handle hail, wind, snow, and whatever else the bighorns can throw at it. Metal roofing is up for the challenge. Whether it's home, shop, ranch, or commercial building, we build roofs that last, with craftsmanship that's built different. No shortcuts, no excuses, just quality roofing, period. Call us today, Branded 307, branding Wyoming, one home at a time.
This is Brad at Prime Rate Motors. If you're looking for a trailer, we've got a great selection on the lot right now. Horse trailers, heavy-duty flatbeds, cargoes, and dump trailers. Whether you're hauling livestock, equipment, or your toys, these trailers are built for real Wyoming work. Stop by and see what just came in and find the trailer that fits your rig and your job. Prime Rate Motors at 2305 Coffin Avenue in Sheridan, or visit us online at primeratemotors.com.
When it comes to imaging, not all technology is the same. At Shared Memorial Hospital, we use some of the most advanced imaging technology in the state, delivering sharper images and faster answers. From a state-of-the-art 3T MRI to advanced CT and X-ray, our technology helps your provider see more and act sooner. Walk in or schedule at Same Day Health and Imaging on Sugarland Drive, open 7 days a week, or visit the outpatient center next to the hospital. For more information, call 672-1000 or visit SheridanHospital.org.
This announcement brought to you by Farmers Co-op Country Store on Coffeen Avenue, home of the Ligursky Sausage Lunch.
Are you dreaming of owning your own home? Habitat for Humanity is now accepting applications for our home ownership program from May 18th to July 31st. For eligibility guidelines and for more information on how to apply, visit SheridanHabitat.org or call us at 307-672-3848. Habitat for Humanity is an equal housing opportunity lender.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse. I'm your host, Floyd Whiting, and we're sitting with Sheridan Police Department Chief Travis Koltiska and Captain Tom Ringley. This morning, we're talking about the upcoming summer events here in Sheridan. And one thing that we do like to talk about every year is the role that the Sheridan Police Department plays when a special event is being planned. Chief, I know I ask you this question every year, sir, but I think it's important for people to understand, as in the last segment we talked about, some people thought you guys organized various things. That is not the SPD's role.
No, absolutely not. Our role in that is simply to coordinate for public safety, ensuring that what plans that the organizers put in place, whether it's a large enough event that requires security, alcohol dispensing, you know, making sure that they're ours is all about the safety aspect of it. The timing for the street closures and making sure that those are going to work well with the rest of the events. And it allows, for instance, when we have multiple events that are closing off streets, can we still get emergency resources to these events to make sure? And maybe we need to ask them to adjust their plans, or we work with them to adjust their plans to allow for different openings in so we can get resources we need into there. Should we have an emergency?
And situations that require an ambulance could...
Yeah, a special event permit is approved by the city engineer,
fire department,
the Sheridan Fire Rescue, and the Sheridan Police Department. So we all take into account our lanes, so to speak, and there's a little bit of overlap. So it's a good process. So we generally can get a police car in places, a lot of places where a fire truck or an ambulance can't go, but the fire department will look at a map and see whether or not it works for their, if it suits their needs. Mm-hmm. So it's a comprehensive process. I'll have the final approval of the city administrator. There are a lot of eyes on these big permits. So they're not haphazard, and all public safety is taken into account.
When does this kind of begin? Because now it's
like it starts, and we've had people that put it actually started last fall.
We've already approved the events. All the Main Street events, Dead Swede. Ideally, as soon as possible.
Yeah, we've really worked with the event holders to start the planning process as early as possible, because there are resources required that the city provides to these, whether it's personnel, whether it's trash pickup,
barricades,
which we do for some things, but really make sure the resource allocation is there. And what's really good is a lot of these are kind of cookie cutter.
Yeah.
Unless there's been a debrief that we needed to make a change because we learned something we didn't see upon the initial safety review. And the event holders are really, really good about saying, no, let's just get this. Why not start this early, right? We know we're going to hold the permit or the event. So let's start the process as early as possible, and not this last minute scramble to make a permit happen. That rarely happens. And we understand there are situations that, you know, an opportunity comes up. Mm-hmm. You know, we understand those happen occasionally, but all the event holders have been great.
And dealing with one instance coming up, because someone's seizing an opportunity as opposed to four or five,
right,
is a totally different situation altogether. When I think about planning events, there is a lot that goes into this. Organizers really do take their time, and it's fantastic that so many people actually have a hand in this, trying to ensure that safety is a priority for everyone. And I think that's one of those situations where, as a typical resident, when you go to these things, you don't walk through the crowd wondering, what if someone gets sick? What if somebody, has medical emergency? Mm-hmm. How the heck are we going to get someone out of here?
And let's not forget the follow-up effects of this is local businesses have an influx of customers. It's a great chance for Sheridan to sell itself. We're a tourist town. We need more people here so we can maintain the town like it is. And also, And I'll say, let's not forget the we don't forget the people that actually live here.
Yeah.
Year round. It's important to us that they not only enjoy the events, but their lives are impacted minimally by these events if they're not going.
Yeah. I lived in a bigger city. I'm here in the state of Wyoming, and I'm not going to say which one, but there's a very large event that takes place. And every local that I knew basically hid for a week. And I thought, that's kind of sad. You know, we should all be out there really enjoying this event. But everything was just so congested. Nobody.
During the old street dance, it was everyone I knew went camping.
Yeah.
Just to get out of town, and probably the mountains a little bit emptier too. But I don't hear that as much anymore. I think it's really good for the community that impact has decreased in that way. Towards it's not just something to be avoided anymore.
Yeah. It's something to really grab the family, head on down, have a good time. And now, when we look at the most common requests the department receives for police escorts, now that's something that we've touched on in the past. It was a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Who generally can put in for a police escort to get them through these crowded situations, if need be, or any other situation?
Well, escorts are very multifaceted thing, because there is a lot of coordination. Everybody thinks, oh, it's just a car leading and they're just going through town, and it's not, because there's a lot of potential issues. We've evolved as an agency in that and really, whether we approve to do one or not boils down to a lot of factors. The most common one we do is escorting our state champions from our high school, which, man, we do a lot of escorts for those guys. I mean, they are...
it's a good
sure
reason,
in high
right?
school, it's just killing it. But go Bronx. But that's probably the most common. But most of those teams are coming back at 11:30 at night or later, right, from these sporting events. So traffic impact is minimal. Now, if somebody said, I want to take an escort of 100, I'll just say it, 100 motorcycles through town at 5 o'clock in the evening, that would be denied, because there are so many dangers incorporated with doing an escort through town with that many, you know, with that spread out at that hour without blocking intersections. And we simply do not have the resources to block every intersection that needs to be blocked to ensure the safety of not only the motorists that are involved in the procession, but also with our other community members. Now, we've done a few escorts for fallen soldiers who've come through town, but we've had big coordination with other agencies.
Yeah.
Highway Patrol and the Sheriff's Office has always been great, gracious in helping us get up through town. But those have been very minimal, only a couple of them. Escorts, everybody thinks that an escort is, and again, funeral processions for dignitaries, but most of those aren't going right through the downtown area. And there's some, those are kind of the thing. Those are kind of the main ones, as I say, war, deceased war heroes, dignitary funerals, and state championships. And that's about it.
A very loose rule of thumb is if the flag's at half staff, then that's kind of fits. And obviously that's a loose rule. It's not hard and fast, but it's something we use. Otherwise, all we do is escorts.
Yeah.
With the 2 to 4 officers we have on the street at any time. Once again, it's the impact, especially for these recreational escorts. We're going to slow down the whole community for this, so you can go through town without stopping at lights. We always consider the impact on the community.
And I think that's pretty vital. I do think it is, in my opinion, a different situation when it comes to, of course, our champions and our war heroes and dignitaries. Then it's almost as if inviting the community to take a moment to recognize these situations. Not just an escort, but also, hey, this is a big deal. And I think that's fantastic reason for an escort. Is there anything else about events or traffic or the summer?
We say this all the time, but, we really want people to have a great time this summer attending events, whether they choose to attend them or they don't have any issues with the events that happen to occur. I mean, it's every event holder has done a fantastic job, and they also have the same vision for that they have for the city that we have, that we want it to be safe and we want it to be have minimal impact negatively on any, and there is a little bit of negative impact, especially when it comes to the traffic, but let's just be patient. Let's take our time. Let's be grateful for where we live. I said it before, and grateful that we have people who are volunteers or businesses who are willing to bring things to our community that really make Sheridan a great place that it is. I mean, and that's the, you know, we're known for the street dance. It used to be not such a good thing, but we're known for the events and the Wild Rodeo. It's a huge event, and you know, the Wild Rodeo board does a great job of advertising and bringing in some talent, and and those performances sell out every night. So we've got a lot of Sheridan's a destination, and let's be grateful for that.
Fantastically said, sir. All right. I want to thank you both so much for coming in this morning. It's always a pleasure seeing you guys. You and your team, stay safe out there.
Thanks, Floyd.
All right. When we return, we're going to speak with the Johnson County Commission Chair, Mr. Bill Novotny. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
First Federal Bank and Trust invites you to the Rooted in Adventure Sweepstakes.
Now through July, every eligible purchase with your First Federal MasterCard debit card earns an entry.
You don't have a card? Open an account online to start participating.
The more you use your card, the more chances you earn.
You could win a trip for two to New York, LA, Miami, or Chicago, or prepaid MasterCards worth $1,000 or $500.
The Rooted in Adventure Sweepstakes on now at First Federal Bank and Trust. Go to efirstfederal.bank for full details.
At Eye Care of the Bighorns, we make finding glasses easy and fun. From Nike and Ray-Ban to Prada, Marc Jacobs, Betsy Johnson, Kate Spade, David Beckham, we've got over 15 designer names with styles for every personality. Protect your eyes year-round with glasses designed with blue light reflective coatings to help reduce eye strain and fatigue. Stop by and see our incredible selection of glasses at Eye Care of the Bighorns, insightful eye care for all seasons. We're located at 1033 Coffeen Avenue in Sheridan.
I love to play sports, and my parents say the more active I am, the better life is for everyone. I'm not sure what that means, but I do know I always bring my water bottle from home. Why? Because my family has the best tasting water ever. We have a water system from Water Products and Solutions. It takes out fluoride and chlorine, and it tastes great. So I drink a lot of water. They can help you too, with a whole home system or a water dispenser.
Water Products and Solutions, 672-7606.
This 4th of July, the spirit of America's 250th stampedes into Buffalo for the biggest birthday bash in Wyoming. The Red, White, and West 250, honoring America's 250th anniversary with a night of pure country grit featuring Cole Goodwin. From Nashville to the heart of the Bighorns, Cole is bringing that red dirt honky-tonk, including his latest single, Howdy.
Been waiting internally, debating, I finally worked up the nerve.
It's more than a concert. It's a celebration of the land we love. Get your tickets now at wyotheater.com. And if you're a local business wanting to be part of the action, we're looking for food trucks and artisans to join the celebration. Secure your spot on Vendors Row today by contacting the Buffalo Chamber of Commerce. Don't wait. Get your tickets now for the Red, White, and West 250 with Cole Goodwin. Sponsored by the Johnson County 250 Committee, the Buffalo Chamber of Commerce, and your home for real country 93.7 The Coyote.
Doug, I need something reliable with good gas mileage.
Sensible. I'm proud of you, Bob.
Hey, don't ruin it.
Check out the 2022 Nissan Sentra S or the 2024 Nissan Sentra SV.
Nice looking cars.
Yeah, get this. It's only $399 down and only $399 a month.
Are you serious?
I am. For just $399 down, your payments will only be $399 a month.
That's a crazy amount down and great monthly payment.
And check out these other $399 down and $399 a month vehicles online at WearingSheridan.com.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse, proudly brought to you by our friends out there at First Federal Bank and Trust. I'm Floyd Whiting, and for our second part this morning, we are joined by Johnson County Commission Chairman, Mr. Bill Novotny. Good morning and welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning, Floyd. Good to be with you.
It's always great hearing your voice. I did want to publicly apologize for kind of dropping the show on you last month when I disturbed you during a trip. But you came through once again and did a fantastic show, even though it was quite early where you were. So I wanted to thank you for that.
Hey, Floyd, anything to get a chance to visit with you about all the good stuff going on in Buffalo and Johnson County. So always a pleasure.
Now, speaking of things happening over there, could you kind of just give us a brief summary of what's going on out at Rock Creek Road?
Well, for several years, Floyd, we've been looking at doing a reconstruction on Rock Creek Road. We finally got our engineering work done, and we're prepared to actually put this one out to the voters. So we're going to ask the voters to approve just over $5 million to do a complete rebuild of Rock Creek Road, basically where the pavement work that the Wyoming Department of Transportation did at the far end of North Main that basically starts at the Rock Creek Bridge under the interstate through that real hard curve past the Emerald Park subdivision up to where Rock Creek intersects with Johnson Creek, and then take it back that section of Johnson Creek back to French Creek Road. This is an area where there's not a really good shoulder. It was designed for ranch travel, and now you have a lot of subdivisions out in that area. There's some dangerous curves. There's some real bad dips. So we just don't have the ability to pay for this through the county road fund. It would take us about 10 years to save the money. While that time, you haven't addressed the safety issue, and the cost of construction is going to go up. So this November, there will be three options for the special purpose tax. It's one penny that gets split three ways. As you're probably aware, the city of Buffalo is going to ask for just over $5 million to do some work on Burritt Street to fix some potholes, put in a new water sewer, and resurface that. The town of KC is also going to ask for about $280,000 so that they can make a repair on a couple of streets. And why that would be so important for the town of KC, they have a total budget just over $200,000, which includes water, garbage, sewer. They only have two employees, so without the possibility of using that penny to do those repairs, it's probably never going to happen down in KC. So those will be packaged together. Folks are going to get a choice. They can vote for one, two, three, or none. It's going to be on us and the folks that are impacted by those roads to get out there, explain it to people why it's important. You know, we used this penny before to do a couple city streets. We did it to do the first library expansion in Buffalo. So we've showed that you use it wisely, and then as soon as the exact amount that we need to do those projects, that penny goes away, and you're back to 5%. We got to remember that about 40% of our sales tax, and sometimes even more, is actually paid by people who don't even live here, who are passing through. So it's a way for us to generate some revenue, and cities, towns, and counties don't have a lot of ways to generate revenue, so this is going to allow us to address those infrastructure problems and get that done and make this a safer and better community.
Now, sir, have the plans kind of been drawn up for this, or would that also be included as part of the process should this go through the ballot by the voters?
Plans are being finalized now, and we've paid for all of that construction and engineering work so far. So the project would go to the voters in 2026, and then our hope is to go to bid in 2027 and get that rolling just as quickly as we can, because we don't want to see inflation eat up any more of the dollars in this program. Plus, there are some legitimate safety concerns out there. One of the nice things, Floyd, for us, that we're going to be able to save some money. You know, the county still owns some property below the airport, so we're going to pull all of our fill dirt for this project off of there. So that's a big savings. It cuts down on trucking because you're not having to bring materials in. And we can actually use that area to stage and mobilize. So we're trying to do everything we can to bring this cost of this project down and get it done for all those folks. The traffic counts out there are unreal. And you get people that, whether they're headed out to the Bud Love that way, or go see HF Bar, or they're commuting to town because they live out there. There's just a lot of traffic on that road.
Now, a lot of folks live in, a bit of the larger towns or cities within a certain county in the state of Wyoming. But there are so many ancillary small towns kind of on the outskirts of everything. And their budgets are always, pretty seemingly small compared to others. Sir, when as a county commissioner and as the chairman, when you sit down to really look at how these smaller communities are going to go forward in the future, how do these individuals really get projects completed?
Biggest thing, Floyd, is going to be their ability to partner with either state or federal grants to then mix that with however they can generate their local revenue. They usually don't typically have a big property tax base because, you know, maybe you have 100 or 200 homes, maybe even less than that in the city limits. So then you don't typically have a big industry there, so you're not generating a lot of sales tax. So a lot of times they have to go down to the SLIB board, and that's the State Loan and Investment Board that has different programs, whether it's for water and sewer, for infrastructure, and you have to compete against the other entities. So the town of Claremont may be competing against the town of KC for a water project, and the legislature appropriates them some money. But once all of that money has been spent for the biennium, or if there is an emergency, sometimes those pots run out of money. And so then you're put on the back burner. Or if you're lucky, you can get your legislator to do a direct appropriation to you through the regular budget process. And so that there's a footnote in there that they're going to pay for something. But they're limited. And then you look at working with our congressional delegation to use some of the federal programs. Problem with those federal programs is they are oftentimes incredibly burdensome when it comes to all the paperwork that you have to do. And so sometimes the juice isn't worth the squeeze. Or sometimes the federal programs rank, and so our applications don't do well because of the number of people that are going to be impacted by the federal spending, which isn't to say that it isn't critical that they have clean water in KC. It's just hard when there's X number of dollars and you're going up against Detroit.
Yeah. You know, I've always figured that being a member of a council or the mayor of these smaller towns has got to come with challenges that are extremely unique. And growing up in Auburn as a kid, you know, for individuals who know where Auburn is, it is just a very, very small town out in the middle of nowhere, Wyoming. They're on the western side. And not a lot of projects happened out there when I was a kid. And it almost looks the same, except a lot of homes. Now, when it comes to these budgets as the county, when you sit down and you look at, the way that funds are going to be distributed, there's also got to be challenges as the sitting on the commission to help these smaller towns and cities that are out there, because we don't want to lose them. They're very much the heart of Wyoming. What are the challenges that you face when you look at those situations?
Well, certainly, we partner with the town of KC through the Solid Waste District. So they do get a portion of that mill that goes down there to fund their cease and transfer station. And certainly we try to help in any way we can. We also, we're fortunate that we have a couple rural fire districts. So the county has a little more involvement in those. In KC, they don't have a fire department, so they rely on that rural fire district down there. They also rely on the ambulance that's brought to us through our rural healthcare district. And we're so lucky that we have two incredible facilities, one up here in Buffalo and then another one down in KC, so that when those ambulance rolls, they can get to the people as quickly as possible so that we can hopefully save a life. So we as a county will do any and everything we can to help and support the city of Buffalo and the town of KC, because we're all in this together. And I've always believed that, you know, the county boundary is one thing, but the city are just kind of a suggestion, and we're all Johnson County residents.
Absolutely. What are some factors having the biggest impact on the county budget this year?
Well, we did get some good news, Floyd, in that we're not going to see an increase in our health insurance premium, which is great, because what we're really facing with is we're going to get hit pretty hard on our budgets for oil, gas, and diesel, and then also our budgets for electricity and that powers all of our facilities. So those are running way above inflation. So those are things that unfortunately we just don't have any control over. We try to control our fuel costs as much as we can through using a bid when we can get folks to bid on providing fuel to the county. Some of the folks just really are in our departments are sharpening their pencils. They've put their budgets together. The commissioners are going to start looking at those on Monday in budget hearings with all of the departments. And we, like everybody, we've been doing DOGE before DOGE was cool. We go line by line through every line of the county budget, and folks have to justify every dollar that we're going to spend. And, you know, we're fortunate. Oil and gas activity is up in the Powder River Basin, which has pushed the valuation of the county up from last year. And so hopefully that's going to be enough to cover those inflationary costs that are eating into our revenue streams. So it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, it's going to a challenging year. The cost of power seems to be on everybody's mind. When you see opportunities for Johnson County in the coming year, what do you see?
Well, again, we rely on technology, and so hoping that we can continue to try to find a way to bring our overall cost of our information technology and computer budget down, or at least hold it flatline. But we're fortunate. We've got a great workforce. We have a few folks that are retiring or about to retire, which is always hard because you lose that institutional knowledge, all that experience they have. But then you also look at the, hopefully we can maybe attract a new young family or somebody in the county government that never thought of serving. So a lot of great opportunities there.
Let's talk about some activities being planned right there in Johnson County to celebrate America's 250th anniversary.
Absolutely. And we probably won't get to chat before those activities on the 4th. So the committee that's made up of the city and the county and the town of KC, working with the Chamber of Commerce and the Johnson County Tourism Association, put together a great lineup. They've got a concert with an artist by the name of Paul Goodwin. He had to replace Mark Chestnut because Mark Chestnut is having some health issues. So that'll be in Buffalo. There's going to be a parade, a classic car show. The businesses will be open and there to serve folks. Just really a great opportunity to highlight our incredible country, this amazing democracy, and celebrate it with a little red, white, and blue here in Buffalo. Down in KC, we'll dedicate a historic marker at the location of the KC cabin where Nate Champion and Nick Ray involved in that Johnson County cattle war. And it's really unfortunate that it's taken the American 250th anniversary for that to finally rightly have a sign marking the importance of that in our local history.
Mm-hmm. I would agree with you on that one, sir. I would have thought that there would already be a marker or something out there to really kind of showcase that moment of bravery that is on a fantastic display in downtown Buffalo with that statue. One of the first things that I learned about when I moved to Johnson County was that incident, because I was looking at that statue when Vinny walked by and asked me if I knew who that was. I said no, and he educated me. It was absolutely fantastic. Now, is there anything else about Johnson County that you would like folks to know before I let you go?
Absolutely. I just want to remind everybody, Crazy Woman Canyon is open, so get on up there and enjoy it. Just remember that there is construction going on 16 right now. So if you're headed in the mountains to recreate, plan a little extra time. They're working on taking the frost eaves out right now, and then they'll start on a mill and overlay of that. So just please plan a little extra time. Again, we're going to ask everyone, please be vigilant about fire this summer. You know, we've had a little bit of rain. The creeks are up just a little bit, but we are still in a severe drought. So anything that we can do to prevent any man-made fires is critical. And so just remember, there are fire restrictions below 7,000 feet. And you could actually see the Forest Service may choose to even go further with those restrictions. But it's critical that we just have to be vigilant.
Absolutely. I would agree with you 110% on that. We don't want a year like we had just a few years ago. Keep fire prevention at the forethought of your mind and make sure that you're not pulling off on the side of the road into tall grass. Anything that can start a fire may start a fire this year, folks. So let's prevent that from happening. Sir, I want to thank you so much for calling in this morning. It's always a pleasure speaking with you. And thank you for, you know, educating me when it comes to certain situations, like how counties try to take care of their smaller communities out there. Thank you.
Always a pleasure, Floyd.
All right, you've been listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM, Sheridan.
First Federal Bank and Trust is launching a community commitment match to support our local fire districts by donating $35,000.
Plus, a Wyoming Community Foundation Donor Advised Fund is matching that amount, and now we're asking the community to help us match an additional $35,000. Sheridan County, let's help fund our local fire districts who protect us every day.
Scan the QR codes in any branch office, check our ad in this week's Country Bounty, or drop off a check at our full-service location at 671 Illinois Street. First Federal Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
Wyoming has a real choice for Congress. We can send another politician to Washington, or we can send Frank Chapman, a rancher, a businessman. Frank knows a thing or two about balancing a checkbook. Frank's no politician. He's a conservative fighter for people like us. Frank Chapman for Congress.
Frank Chapman lives Wyoming values. Hard work, straight talk, and Frank's never backed down from a fight. Chapman is a rancher, a father, not a politician. Frank Chapman is the conservative we need in Congress. That's why conservative groups like CPAC have endorsed Chapman.
I am blessed in that God put me in a place where I could succeed.
Frank Chapman is the fighter we need in Congress.
Frank Chapman, Wyoming rancher, American businessman. He'll seal the border, back our ICE agents, unleash American energy, defend your Constitution, and make America great again. Frank Chapman, conservative for Congress.
Paid for by Fighting for Wyoming. Fightingforwyoming.com, who is responsible for the content of this advertising, and it is not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Hi, this is Taylor, front of house manager at Frackleton's. From the moment you walk in, we want your meal to feel easy, welcoming, and unrushed. A great night out isn't just about what's on the plate. It's how you're greeted, how you're taken care of, and how everything flows. We pay attention to the details so you don't have to. Good food, good service, good timing, start to finish. Frackleton's, Main Street, downtown Sheridan. Oh, and book your table early on Frackleton's.com.
Did you know the Country Bounty is online at SheridanMedia.com? That's right. You always have access to the Country Bounty. The print version of the bounty is still delivered to homes and businesses in Sheridan County and Buffalo, but you can also view it from your phone, tablet, or computer simply by going to SheridanMedia.com or CountryBounty.com. You'll be able to scroll through the entire publication, click on inserts and more. Try it out. SheridanMedia.com or CountryBounty.com. It's in the palm of your hand. The Country Bounty.